The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow, with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You could also text the show at 713-780-3776. A lot of Rockets talk. So did Joel have that guy on today that asked the question? A couple of people were texting.
I don't know.
I'd be interested. Moving to Austin, and we'll still keep up with the Blitz on the app, but are there any recommendations on good sports radio in Austin? AJ, you should be able to answer that since you were the only good sports radio in Austin.
Yeah, I killed good sports radio in Austin when I left, I'm sorry to say. No, I mean, listen, I've not heard many good things since I left. I don't know who's doing the afternoon show at 1300. I know Rod Babers, who I worked with for a long time, is still working there. I don't know who he's working with.
Is he still doing 5 or 6 hours a day?
Yeah, they work that dude like a mule. And then I don't know what the lineup is on the FM station there, so I'm kind of out of the loop on I'm out of the loop on Austin radio these days.
I'm kind of out of the loop on Houston radio these
days.
Yeah,
I am too.
I know who we've got, and that's about it. 713-780-ESPN. All right, so you put together a list of underrated guys. Is that pretty much it?
Yeah. Well, I had a handful of guys that I thought were underrated, at least according to most of these mock drafts that I've seen.
Okay.
And guys that I think are maybe a little bit overrated.
Okay.
Based on, and again, this isn't just based off of one mock draft, so a lot of it was I kind of went through several and saw where they had guys and the average of where these guys are being projected to go. And so on some of them, I decided, well, if I find a quarterback that I think's overrated, I'll find one that I think's underrated. And I kind of went that way.
You found an underrated quarterback?
I found an underrated quarterback.
I can't wait to hear who it is.
It's Nathan Peterman.
Okay.
From Pitt, who is on most of these mock drafts the 6th or 7th quarterback off the board. And Deshaun Kizer, for instance. I would take him over Deshaun Kizer. I would take him over Brad Kaya. I would take him over Patrick Mahomes, probably. So,
Brad Kaya is an interesting one to me, because if you can get him in the 3rd round, I'd just as soon have him as I would Kizer or Mahomes in the 1st.
Oh,
I think you could throw Peterman into that conversation as well.
I think overrated quarterback, there's so many that you could have chosen from. But the fact that Mitch Trubisky may go #1 overall makes that sort of a no-brainer to me. I think Mitch Trubisky could maybe be solid, but I don't think he's anywhere near NFL ready. He doesn't have any experience, and we just don't know much about him.
1 year as a starter, just that almost never works.
No.
So, all right.
Running backs. I had 2 running backs. One of them I know that you don't like, Joe Mixon, who on most boards now is like the 7th running back going.
That's probably too far down. I agree with that.
And I mean, I understand what that's taking into account. But at this point, if I can get the 7th running, if he's the 7th running back, that's extreme value to me for a guy who, talent wise, I think is top 3 or 4. I know you feel differently about that than I do.
I have him better than 7 though.
Yeah, the other guy, Marlon Mack from South Florida, who a lot of people have going in like 4th, 5th rounds, I think he's a pretty solid back. And you know, I normally would say 4th, 5th round is a good place to pick a running back.
Yeah.
But relative to the other running backs that are going off. So when I say he's a fourth, fifth rounder, we're talking about maybe 10, 11 running backs going off the board before him. And that just seems a little bit high to me.
Where do you think Pumphrey goes?
Man, I don't know. He's so small.
He's also one of those. I like him because he's productive. And I obviously can't be an every down back.
Right.
But I think that guy would be a pretty good weapon if you used him correctly.
I loved that dude in college. I remember there was a while when I was saying, hey, maybe this dude should get some Heisman looks until they started losing. And then that changed everything. But, I'm guessing he's probably going to be about the 15th back taken. Somebody will look at him as sort of a gadget type guy and make a play on him in like the fifth round would be my guess. My overrated back, I was going to go with Alvin Kamara, who has quickly like jumped a bunch of people like Joe Mixon and Dante Foreman and Kareem Hunt.
I like Dante Foreman a lot, by the way.
Alvin Kamara is now on most mock drafts the fourth running back off the board.
Wow.
But I didn't even pick him because I saw some mock drafts where Christian McCaffrey goes in the top 10 overall. And if that happens, I mean, that's a grave mistake in my opinion. And I'm not one of these guys. I think Christian McCaffrey can do some things. I don't think he's simply a third down back. I don't think he's just a gadget player. But I also know that he's 5'11 and barely 200 pounds. And he's not going to take the kind of pounding that you take as an every down NFL back. And if you're using the highest I saw him go was sixth. To the Panthers.
No.
If you use the sixth pick in the draft on a guy like that, a running back to begin with, but then a running back that I think is going to have issues staying on the field, I think that's a pretty big stretch.
Well, I do think he's a gadget back. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just praised a guy who's the same thing. But I'd rather have a fifth round guy like that than a top 10 pick on him. And I think he's, if you use him right, like a team like the Patriots would use him right. A team like the Saints would use him right, where he's not out there all the time, but you use him out of the backfield, you use him on third downs, you use him on third and longs for draw plays and try to get him in space and still get him a lot of touches, but don't try to make him an every down back. I think you have a very, very good player, but is that worth a top 10 pick?
Yeah, that's where I'm saying.
And just for where he's going to go, even though I love him as a player, you can make a case that Leonard Fournette's a little overrated too. Where he's going to go in the draft.
I agree, because I don't think any running back should go in the top 10 in the draft. But I think relative to where I would take him, I wouldn't say he's nearly as overrated as someone like Christian McCaffrey.
Fair enough.
Because I can see Leonard Fournette becoming a dominant, and bell cow type back.
Top 15 guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Top 5, I don't know about, but all right.
Wide receivers. Underrated, I didn't want to put him because I think he's still likely to be the first receiver taken, but I've seen Corey Davis tumble in a lot of these drafts.
Yeah, I have too.
And I don't understand why. Corey Davis is one of the best wide receiver prospects to come out in a while. And I know he played at a small school, and I know it's not sexy. And honestly, his game isn't necessarily sexy, but he's a fantastic blocker. He runs good routes. He's not a 4-2 guy. But he's fast enough. He's got good hands.
He's like, very quick off the line.
He's a complete receiver. He's what you want. And there are people who are like, I like John Ross better than. And I don't get me wrong, I like John Ross too, because John Ross can fly. But John Ross is not near the receiver that Corey Davis is, and it's not to me. It's not even close. And they're often going, they're interchangeable in these mock drafts and. People fall in love with speed, which is that's the big reason why, because John Ross ran a 4.22. But the underrated guy I went with Juju Smith-Schuster from USC, who most people have going late third, early fourth, and I could see him being like a second round guy. I think he's pretty solid. Overrated Dede Westbrook from Oklahoma, who I didn't think much of when he was in college. I think someone that small should be more explosive than what he is. I'm just not sold on him being great. And I didn't do every position, but like I did.
Sexy positions.
So I did Will Holden, because I know there are a lot of people looking for offensive linemen around this town. Will Holden from Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Who most people have going in about round four. And I think in a weak class like this, I could see him being a second or third round guy, and I wouldn't feel bad about taking him there. I think that he's got that. He's again. You're not. I'm not telling you like this is going to be some, you know, Jonathan Ogden. I mean, that's not the case. You're not going to find that guy in the third round or second round. But I think relative to the other guys in this class, I think he's pretty solid. And then J.J. Dielman, who the other tackle from Utah, who A, has been banged up throughout most of this draft process. B, I don't think he's really that good. And he always went against the second best guy on the other team because they had Garrett Bowles. And he's still looked at as like a fourth round prospect, third, fourth round prospect. And I'm not willing to take that risk, I don't think. I'll let someone else make that mistake just because it does. When you think about that, and again, there's these guys, you know, the second defensive tackle from Alabama, who I would honestly say at this point is maybe a little bit underrated because he played next to Jonathan Allen, and it's hard to look good. But Dalvin Tomlinson's a pretty damn good player, and people are talking about him in the third or fourth round when he most years would be probably a second rounder. So, but I think on that offensive line, like when you're lining up against the second best pass rusher every game and you're hurt, that's a turnoff to me.
And frankly, most teams don't have two pass rushers.
No, not at that. I mean, in the SEC, maybe. Not in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Not in the Pac-12. This was tough for me, like when I got to some of the defensive positions, because I really like a lot of these guys. And Myles Garrett's probably going to be the number one pick. And I wouldn't take him number one, but I don't think he's overrated. Like, I think he's really good. I just don't think he's better than Jonathan Allen, and I don't know if he's better than Solomon Thomas. But I don't know if I dislike him enough to say he's overrated, because I don't really believe that's the case. I think he's really good.
He is, but here's my concern with him. He had a hard time staying healthy, and he'd go out there and play through it, but it obviously affected him. And yeah, I wonder about his durability moving forward. And if you're going to use the number one pick on the guy, that always concerns me. I think he's going to be really good, but I don't know that he's Von Miller good.
Yeah.
And so should you go number one?
Well, that's kind of the question. The underrated guy I found from there was Jordan Willis from Kansas State, who's sort of a physical freak. And he reminds me a little bit, I mean, obviously this is very loose, but reminds me a little bit of guys like Clowney and Mario Williams, who got taken way more on physicality than anything else. And I'd say both those guys worked out long term. I mean, or at least like looks like Clowney's going to. Mario Williams definitely worked out long term. And Jordan Willis is a guy you're getting pretty decent value on if he ends up being like the eighth or ninth pass rusher off the board, which is where he's going in a lot of these things.
774 says, there goes your shot at getting Myles Garrett on your show.
Yeah, probably not.
That was never going to happen. So, all right. Well, we got some more to get to because I have some guys I want to ask you about specifically that I think have some value. And then just the positions the Texans are going to be looking at and why maybe they shouldn't be looking at them.
Yeah.
Even though they're supposed to. We'll talk about that when we come back. But right now I got to tell you about Houston Cann Academies. Terrific school. When a kid drops out and they need a place to go, and a lot of these kids, really good kids, they had to drop out to either take care of their family. Some of them had travel issues, couldn't get to school. Well, Houston Cann Academy works around all that, and they give them all a second chance, and they give them whatever they need to succeed. If they need transportation, they make sure they get them bus passes. If they need glasses, they get them those. And the reason they're able to do that is because guys like you have stepped up and donated, and we need more. Cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, tractors. Doesn't matter what kind of shape they're in, whether they're running or not. And maybe you had one sitting out there in the garage, or you had it sitting out there in your field, and you wanted to, you were thinking, well, I'll fix it up or I'll sell it. And then you never got around to it and it won't start. And you're thinking, what do I do with it? We'll donate it. They're going to come and tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork, and your donation is tax deductible. So next year when you're doing your taxes and you can take that off, it's going to make a big, big difference. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you're going to get a free $50 Visa gift card. And the cool thing is, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're over in Beaumont, if you're in Nacogdoches, if you're in San Marcos, they'll come and tow it. All you have to do is give them a call. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Renters Warehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And I wanted to ask you this because it looks like a pretty good draft for defensive players.
Much better draft on the defensive side than offensive side.
I also like some of the wide receivers in this draft. I think there's...
It's a good wide receiver
draft. Two or three guys at least. Texans obviously need quarterback, offensive tackle.
Two of the worst positions.
And I kind of wonder if... Now, if Ryan Ramczyk or Garrett Bowles is there at 25 or Cam Robinson.
The problem with this, with the classes being so thin... is other teams are going to have to reach too. So the likelihood that those guys make it that far, like I've heard Deshaun Watson may, you know, maybe make it to 25. It just seems so unlikely because...
Yeah, I could see the quarterbacks and the tackles being gone at 25.
Well, not all of them. But
the guys that are worth drafting
right,
at that spot.
But that's why the Texans, that's why Patrick Mahomes... His stock is going up because that's going to be the best guy available, at least according to most people, when the Texans pick... Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, is a third, fourth round guy.
Agree.
But because of the scarcity at the position, everybody moves up. You know what I mean?
Right.
So whereas, you know, Trubisky would maybe be a second rounder most years on a good year. Kizer would be a second rounder.
Oh, no, he's got the brain of Tom Brady and the body of Cam Newton.
That's true, or vice versa.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I get confused. But, well, and that's the thing. So if I'm sitting at 25 and I think there's three quarterbacks, well, I honestly only think there's one quarterback that I would look at 25, and that'd be Watson. Let's say those guys are gone, though, including Patrick Mahomes, because it could happen. We see it every year that you start a run, and those three tackles are gone, Ramczyk, Bowles, Robinson. That means that there's a really good player in another position sitting at 25.
Yeah.
That you don't necessarily need, whether it's another pass rusher, another outside linebacker, a safety, a cornerback, a wide receiver, hell, maybe even a running back. And I know that people's heads would probably explode if they took another defensive lineman. But wouldn't that kind of make sense if those guys are all gone when you get to 25 and you just go down the list and...
Take a cornerback or a linebacker or whoever the best player around is? That would make sense to me, but I don't think that's what the Texans will do. I think they're gonna say, we're going to take the best player available at a position where we really need someone. And the reason why they have to do that is... They did nothing in free agency,
right?
And they didn't leave themselves any options.
Well, that's not what Rick Smith said. So they did a lot in free agency last year.
Right.
And that's what this is about. So 936 says, why aren't more people talking about Dante Foreman? I think I like him. I think he's going to be a good player for somebody. And I think he should go ahead of a lot of these guys who are going to probably be drafted before him. But we'll see. 713-780-ESPN. Kyle wanting to know where TJ Watt goes. I'm seeing a lot of bottom of the first round for him.
Yeah,
some places a little
Which
higher.
Which is crazy to me, but yeah. Okay. If his name was T.J. Franklin, do you think he'd go that high?
I certainly think it has something to do with the fact that he's getting so much attention.
Yeah.
And to me, I look at him, I see a late second round kind of guy.
Yeah.
Maybe third round. A guy who could be a good player. But I'll be real interested to see how this plays out, because I think I could see a scenario where the Texans get to 25 and say Cam Robinson's still there and there's a quarterback and they have to make a decision. I can also see a scenario where nobody that is worth drafting there at those positions is available.
Yep.
And if that happens, I'll be curious, do they trade out of the pick? And here's the other thing. They've never done it. And I got asked this when I did my mock draft for Philadelphia Station last week. What were the odds that Texans would actually trade up? And I got to put it at less than 1% because they never have. It's just not something they do.
And now is a time where they gave up that second rounder to get rid of Osweiler. They don't have the ammunition, really. Like, they've had chances to before and didn't.
Yeah.
This is a year where it seems even less likely.
Yeah, and I think the other part of that is, and one of the reasons why I think they gave up that too is they know they're probably going to get some comp picks next year for
right.
A.J. Bouye for sure. But, yeah, I don't think you want to be trading a whole bunch more picks at this stage. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Who's a late round guy that you could see being impactful, like the DJ Reader of this year?
Oh.
Is there a guy out there that you think is going to go late? That,
well, you're talking like round 6 or 7.
Yeah, round 6 or 7, or even undrafted free agent who winds up contributing for a team.
These are all sort of relative, but like in most years, this guy he might not even get drafted, but Zach Banner, the tackle from USC, I've seen him like 6th, 7th rounds in a lot of these things.
Yeah.
And just, I'll take, history's on my side, taking USC offensive linemen. It's usually a pretty good thing. If you can get one in round 6 or 7, I'd probably feel pretty decent about that. I'm trying to think who else I like or like late. The Elijah McGuire, the running back from Louisiana Lafayette, another running back who he may end up actually being an undrafted free agent, but I think that dude can play.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get drafted, somebody will bring him in and he'll make a roster. Same with the kids, Aaron Jones from UTEP, another big, small school running back. And those guys tend to get overlooked, but they'll be some of the first guys called after the draft ends, and they'll both break camp with somebody, I think.
It's also a pretty good tight end draft.
Well, there's a lot of them. I don't know that there's any that are fantastic, you know, like next level type prospects, but there's definitely an abundance as far as numbers go of guys who will probably be able to play in the NFL. And O.J. Howard's probably, you know, kind of the top dog, and he'll go in the first round. But I like Jake Butt from Michigan. And that dude's got an NFL body. He played in a big program, played for a good coach. That's a guy I like a lot. And who's the other tight end that I liked that was kind of getting overlooked? He's from Nebraska, Keithan Carter, who a lot of people are having like 7th round, something like that. I think he's a pretty decent player too. And Sprinkle from Arkansas is pretty solid.
As far as late round guys or maybe undrafted, I kind of like the kid from Toledo, Michael Roberts.
Okay, he's a good one too.
Yeah, he's a big dude, and I think he
might be almost too big.
Yeah, yeah, but he's also I think for a late round flyer, it's a guy who might turn into something for you. I don't know if you ask, what about Forrest Lamp at 25? I think there's a chance he's gone too. It really depends on how these teams, you know, what these teams draft, and I know a lot of them keep saying it, and the mock draft that. And the media did this, but the one that I participated in, nobody took a quarterback before 25.
Yeah.
So
nobody wants to be the one to do it. And the problem is some NFL GM is actually going to have to.
Right.
And they're going to feel that pressure and they're going to do it.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get on the HR&P listener line, we'll be happy to take your phone calls. So. Tell them about Kima.
Oh, that's right. The Kima Craft Beer Fest coming up next Saturday. I guess this Saturday now. Time has flown. We've transformed our way into late April now, and it's this Saturday, April 29th. The Kima Boardwalk, 24 craft breweries invite you to spend a day sampling over 72 of the best craft beers. And that includes a lot of locals, a lot of Texas beers, Eighth Wonder, Alamo, Buffalo Bayou, Deep Ellum, Galveston Island, Carbach, St. Arnold's, Spindletap, Shiner. They're all going to be out there, as well as a bunch of national brands like Ballast Point, Bell's, Oscar Blues, and Odell. Sierra Nevada is going to be out there. A lot of great beer. Tickets are $44.95 in advance. They're $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member or have a military ID, and they're $49.95 the day of the event, so it's worth it to get in a little bit early. The admission includes beer samples, of course, giveaways from beer vendors, and food samples, and there's going to be live music out there all day. It's going to be a good time from 2 to 5 out on the boardwalk. You can purchase tickets online at KemaBeerFest.com or on-site at multiple ticket booths at the Kema Boardwalk. All guests must present valid ID at the time of purchase. You must be 21 years of age, of course, to get in. It's Saturday, April 29th from 2 to 5, the Kema Craft Beer Fest. You can go to KemaBeerFest.com for details.
ESPN 97.5.
And we're back on the Blitz. John from Kingwood has an interesting question. Says you're talking about a lot of draft stock about whether a player is worth a certain round pick or not. Question is, realistically, are there 32 players that are worth a first round pick in any draft, or does it make it impossible because some teams are drafting because of needs and some take the best available player? I think it varies draft to draft.
No doubt.
Some drafts you'll have as many as 50 guys who are worth going in the first round. This one, I think defensively, there's, you know, between that and some of the running backs and receivers, I think there's probably 32 guys who are worth going in the first round. It's just not at the sexy position, which is quarterback. And I think that kind of fools people sometime. And somebody's asking about Cam Malvo at UH. I don't think he'll get drafted.
He's not going to get drafted.
You know, I think he'll be a undrafted free agent, and I think he'll stick in camp for a while with somebody. But, yeah.
I'll tell you who a UH player that I would argue is maybe a little bit underrated is Brandon Wilson.
Yeah.
And I think that guy is pretty solid. And he's looking around like the fourth, fifth round in a lot of these things. I think he's decent. I think he's one of the probably 12 or 13 best corners in the draft.
And he can play special teams.
And I was telling you off the air, and I get now if you're a 5'10 corner, it's an uphill battle. It really that's just the way the NFL is. And I love big corners as much as anybody. But there are two of them. Adoree Jackson from USC, who I think was the best cornerback in college football last year, and Tre'Davious White from LSU, and both of them are under 6 foot, but I think are still two of probably the three or four best corners in this draft. And if you get one of those two dudes in the second round, I think that's crazy good value.
Yeah, and I always loved taking LSU cornerbacks. More often than not, it's going
to
work out. There have been some failures at the top of the draft, but usually those guys come out of there pretty polished. And you mentioned Wilson again. I think the one thing to keep in mind with him is he can return kicks. And that's a valuable skill. Now, obviously, if he makes your rotation in the secondary, you probably don't want him doing that. But I think he's got a shot to go somewhere. I think somebody will take a shot at Greg Ward as a receiver, but probably pretty late, if at all. But you know, his size worries me even at wide receiver. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Robert says, why are people so hesitant to draft Deshaun Watson early? Is it his style or the system or he was in or something else?
It's the system he's in.
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
Listen, Deshaun Watson has a lot of skills that are nice, but Deshaun Watson's also played in an offense that is, its whole purpose is to make the quarterback look good. I mean, it's
yeah. Now he succeeded in that system more than his predecessors.
Yep.
But I think that's a concern. I like the guy. He threw too many picks last year, and he didn't run as much as he did the year before. Even though his numbers are not all that different, I don't think he looked as polished last season until they got to the playoffs, And he was certainly great against Alabama, and I like that. I like a guy who can raise his game. I like him. He's the one quarterback in this draft that I think could turn out to be something. And, yeah, I think he's a lot more accurate than he gets credit for. His footwork needs a little work, but it looks fixable to me. And that's the guy I would go for more than Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Mr. Brady meets Newton. It's certainly Pat Mahomes, just because he can throw the ball 80 yards. Good luck with that. Although, I don't know if you saw the Monday morning quarterback where they basically compare him to Brett Favre. Ugh. Okay. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in on the HRMP listener line, that's probably enough draft stuff.
Yep. Today.
But we've got plenty more to do. I have some non-sportsy stuff to get to at some point too, but yeah, we didn't get to talk about your Astros at all.
We did not, and frankly, this is one of those series where but hey, at this point, every win's a win, and this is a good team, man. They're solid. I like the a couple nights back where they have Davinsky run out there for a long save. I think that's smarter to me to be fluid with the bullpen,
yeah,
than to say Giles is our closer and that's that. Davinsky's their best reliever right now, so use him in high pressure situations. It's kind of what the Indians do. The Indians, yeah, like they'll say Andrew Miller's the best. He's the best relief pitcher in baseball. So the Indians decided, well, instead of saying you're going to pitch the ninth inning every night, because the ninth inning you might end up seeing the 7, 8, 9 hitters, we'll have you pitch in our most high leverage situation. So if there's a man on and the 2, 3, 4 hitters are the next guys up, we're going to bring you in to shut that down. And if you can go at a second inning, cool, we'll go a second inning. And It's so non-traditional, and fantasy guy probably doesn't like it because then they're not getting their saves, and it's that. But the reality in real baseball, having a guy like that is so valuable. And you know, Davinsky, because he seems willing to go 3 innings if he has to, why not throw him out there when you need him the most? And if you've got to use Giles in the 8th inning one day, use Giles in the 8th inning.
Yeah, which they did one day last week.
Yeah.
Because he was up against the 3 best hitters. I think it was the 7th inning they used him, maybe.
That's the best way to use your bullpen, in my opinion. Especially a bullpen that is short on left-handed arms. So, you know, you've got right-handers who are better against lefties than others. You need to use those guys when you've got a high leverage lefty situation. I just think that they've done a good job handling that bullpen this year. I think that's going to be key for them.
Well, and what I think is kind of interesting is Harris last year was kind of the surprise in the first half of the season, so they used him as the closer a lot, and then when things started going south for him, they didn't. But they've got a lot of guys to choose from. You didn't even mention Brad Peacock, who's been terrific.
Lights out, yeah.
The light has come on for that guy. And when you look at, when you have guys like that back there, that if you can just get to the 6th inning, you're going to be in great shape. And that's kind of where they are right now. And that's a good place to be.
And there's been guys who I would say have played over expectation. You'd say Aoki and Gurriel have been surprises at this point, right? Like, yeah, those guys have been better than what you thought they'd be. If I told you those dudes would be hitting in the 320s, you would have been like, yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't expect that to continue, but I do think Aoki can hit 290.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know what Gurriel's going to be, so for me to say I'm surprised, it's like maybe, but we don't know what he is yet.
And you've got two guys. And these, I hate to group them in together, although I'll throw Bregman in the same group with Correa. Bregman's hitting a little better than Correa is. Correa is basically giving you nothing.
Yeah.
And You know how many extra base hits he's had this season? Two. He had a home run opening day, and he had a home run the other night.
Yeah.
He's had zero doubles, zero triples, no other home run. He's hitting 197. And that's, you know, that's the future of your team. That guy's got to be better.
He can't be any worse than that.
No.
But and that's worrisome to me because I really thought this was his year that he...
To break out and become like a full-fledged superstar. I did too.
And it's funny, we used to make fun of the batting averages, but when you go down and look at him now, I mean, it's a legitimate major league lineup now, and it's so much different than 3 years ago.
And you expect Correa to hit better than he is. And
that'll even out because I don't think Aoki hits 325 and...
I don't think McCann hits 313.
Right.
So
Gattis is hitting 294.
Yeah, things will even out. But just for now, and the fact that they're one of the best teams in the league right now, and Carlos Correa has done basically nothing offensively, that's pretty good. George Springer's the other guy who I'm so torn on him. I've never been high on him as a superstar player, and that's what everybody has been trying to sell him to me as, is a future star. And 7 home runs at this point in the season is nothing to sneeze at.
No.
But he's hitting .216.
Yeah.
And he's obviously not the same player because he contributes greatly defensively, but that's kind of a Chris Carter stat line. And his home runs have been timely, which is nice. He's gotten some big hits, but overall, yeah, I think you have to hope that he gets a little bit better as far as hitting for average. 216 is not going to cut it from that guy, especially if he's leading off all year.
Yeah, and he's always been pretty streaky, and he's due for a hot streak. But the good news is if he's in one of those the cold streaks now, he's still got 7 home runs. He has struck out a
lot. No doubt. The home runs are nice, but yeah, the strikeouts and just, I mean... 216 is rough from any leadoff guy in the league. That's damn near unacceptable. And I don't know how much longer they can keep running that out there as their leadoff man. And the problem is, I've said, and I know historically they've tried it, and it seems to work better when Altuve's not leading off. But, I mean, Altuve, it almost guarantees you getting someone on base.
Well, the other guy I would think about while he's hitting – the way he's hitting is Aoki.
Is Aoki, yeah. I could see that.
Not that he's a big stolen base guy, but he gets on base. And that might be a temporary fix while you move Springer down and see if he doesn't start hitting. And I know they did that with Bregman, too. They moved him down to try to get his bat going. And I think the beauty of it is they've got so many options now.
I'll give you one more name, and it's a name that I would have never told you I'd give at the beginning of the year. But, and again, I don't expect him to keep hitting the way he is. But Jake Marisnyk, while he doesn't always hit, that dude draws a lot of walks. He gets on base. Not the worst thing in the world. And I don't think he's no kind of special player, trust me. But Jake Marisnyk gets on base, so maybe the nights that he's in the lineup, run him out. I don't know. But I know a lot, these guys like Springer and Gurriel, who, and Gattis, guys who would rather strike out than take a walk. You know, that's kind of what's that can be a killer at times, and they still have a lot of those guys in the lineup.
They do, but they're a lot more versatile.
They're way better than they used to be. All right, guys, as the seasons change, you want to revitalize your outdoor living area. Do it with the custom style and quality you've come to expect from Allied Outdoor Solutions. They can renovate your fading pool deck, your grayed out patio, your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay that'll give you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less. Troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home. It looks amazing. It's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on residential and commercial projects, and they offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. With all this, it's no wonder they're the 2015-16 Angie List Super Service Award winners. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay to get the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the carved stone projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
Lately it's hard to let you know. There's no return and there's no one.
To call into the
HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The Blitz is coming to Saloon Door Brewing in Webster on Friday. Join us as we broadcast live from the brewery beginning at 4. Stay and watch the NFL draft starting at 6. And they will have it there on those projection screens that they have on the walls. So get your draft on Friday. Get your Blitz on. Looking forward to getting back down there. It's been a while, and we will be in Webster on Friday. Okay, time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I think it was last week you had a story about a kid who, I guess the parents were asleep, and he took his brother to McDonald's. Something like that.
Drove to McDonald's. Yeah, kids did.
I think I've got one that tops that. A 12-year-old decided he was going to attempt to drive across Australia.
Oh, boy.
Now, Australia's pretty big.
Yeah, it's very big.
He managed to get 800 miles before police arrested him.
Hey.
12-year-old got 800 miles.
Run.
Yeah, a damn good run. Authorities from the Broken Hill Highway Patrol stopped the boy around 11 a.m. Checks revealed the driver to be a 12-year-old boy traveling from Kendal, New South Wales, on his way to Perth. I don't know much about the...
Was he going there for chicks?
I'm guessing. But the boy was pulled over when patrol officers noticed his vehicle's bumper dragging across the ground.
Oh, boy.
He happened to be traveling during day 2 of Operation Go Slow, a driver safety campaign. And he was arrested and taken to the Broken Hill Police Station.
That's the worst time to be a 12-year-old driver, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
During, like, a safe driving initiative.
Yeah. With your bumper hanging off the back.
Yeah, not wise.
Does it say what he was driving?
No.
He's driving what everyone in Australia drives, like a Ford Ranger. Like a tiny pickup. That's what I assume everyone drives.
It says it was a car.
Oh.
Well, but maybe. There's no details on what kind
Subaru.
Of vehicle.
Subaru. Had to be.
Yeah, an Outback.
Yeah.
But... just 800 miles, he would have had to fill up twice, I would think. I would imagine he would have to fill up twice. At least
twice.
Yeah. Yeah. So he filled up twice and didn't get, you know, nobody stopped him. Yeah. Two times.
Yeah. But, he refueled the car all without being noticed.
Good for him.
800 miles. Although I guess it's kilometers there, so it'd probably be, but that's... Congratulations, kid. It's quite the accomplishment.
Well, except he got arrested.
Yeah, but he got 800 miles.
End result's the same, though.
And he didn't get close to Perth because that's on the other end of the continent.
And did he get sex? That's the real question. That's what he was looking
maybe
for.
Maybe while he was in prison. Maybe not what he was looking for.
Not what he was looking for.
800 miles, 1,287 kilometers.
Impressive. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, do we want to squeeze in a call on the HRNP listener line?
Sure.
Is that Rito? Is that what that says?
I don't know what that says.
Sports, Seventh, it's Rhett.
Oh, okay.
Rhett. What up? Sports.
Sports. Hey, who do you all think, or what do you think is going to be the biggest surprise of the first round? You know, who drops the most precipitously, or who jumps up or into the first round that maybe some people aren't expecting?
Well, I think that if Christian McCaffrey goes in the top 10, I think that's going to be the biggest surprise to me. Like, it may be less of a surprise now that that's what I'm hearing could happen, but I would have never thought that. He would be. I would have thought late first round, someone takes a flyer on that guy, but in the top 10, that would have been. I couldn't have pictured that happening. And then the other one, like I've talked about him before. If Deshaun Watson drops all the way to the Texans, I'd be shocked. But I've seen a couple places where that happens.
Yeah.
And if it does, that would be, I mean, you know, if you had to take a, if you put a gun to my head and said take a quarterback in the first round this year, I guess that's the one I'd take. I wouldn't feel great about it, but that's the one I would take. And then, like I said, if Corey Davis, for whatever reason, not only isn't the first wide receiver taken, but if I had my say, I'd have him taken in the top 10. That would be surprising to me as well. You know, the CBS, when I was looking at all these mock drafts, CBS at this time of year, they have like six guys doing mock drafts.
Yeah.
And of those six guys, there were three players selected for the Texans. Do you want to guess who they were? No, I'm wrong. Four players selected for the Texans.
Okay.
Out of seven. Out of six.
Okay.
One guy had Deshaun Watson. That was Rob Rang. Dane Brugler had Garrett Bowles, the tackle from Utah.
Yeah.
And Ryan Wilson had Forrest Lamp, the guard from Kentucky.
Okay.
Or Western Kentucky, pardon me. The other three all had the same player. That's Pete Prisco, Will Brinson, and Jared Dubin. All had a quarterback. And it's not Patrick Mahomes. They all have Davis Webb from Cal.
Oof.
Going at pick 25. I didn't realize that, and again, there's a lot of mock drafts around the internet, and CBS is the only site where I saw that happening.
Yeah.
But I would be greatly against that. Greatly.
Yeah. I don't think you need to draft that guy in the first round.
I don't think so either.
But I hope those guys are wrong, all three of them. But if again, those quarterbacks all go, that's what you're going to be left with is a guy like that. And I mean, that's another air raid guy who wasn't as good as the air raid guy I didn't like who went first overall last year.
Yeah.
So
I don't see the appeal, but apparently that, you know, and these guys all watch a lot more film than I do, and they're talking to people that I'm not talking to. All I have is what I've seen with my eyeballs.
Right.
I tend to trust that quite a bit. And sometimes maybe more than I should, but I saw Davis Webb play enough times this year that I can't picture a scenario where he's a first-round quarterback. I cannot picture it.
Well, if it happens and the Texans are the one that does it, we'll have something to bash them for the next
have plenty to talk about for the next few years.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Raising Cane's. The best chicken finger meals, they're made from fresh ingredients, and that's all they're serving up at Raising Cane's. Fresh, never, ever frozen chicken fingers. They brought them by the other day. Of course, the interns out there woofed them up before I had my fill, and that was my first day off my diet. I wanted to eat about 100 of them. Instead, I had to settle for four. But it's not just that. It's not just the chicken, which is outstanding, and they don't start cooking till you walk in the door. But they also have the best sides, the crinkle-cut fries, the Texas toast is all amazing, and that cane sauce is the truth. I don't know how else to put it. It's tangy. It's a little bit spicy. It's just the perfect condiment for those chicken fingers, for the fries, for the toast. It goes with everything there. Raising Cane's, there is 24 locations in the Houston area. That is a lot. That's a lot of locations, including a new one opening up in Katy. Go check them out. Find the one nearest you. Check them out today. That's Raising Cane's. One love.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.